All right. Let's get started. Can you introduce yourself for me?
My name is Sarah Crow, and I am a working Catholic artist and artist in residence at St. Gregory the Great. I do commissions of sacred art for private clients. I do paintings for gallery exhibition, and I do, as artist in residence, workshops of various art techniques for the community, as well as tours of the churches of Mary Mother of God Parish of Art and Architecture.
What brought you to St. Gregory?
The artist in residence opportunity. So I am a registered parishioner at St. John Cantius Church in Chicago, where I was baptized in 2017. And I have been doing sacred art for the last 5 years, and looking for a studio. And I had briefly been, had a working space at my parish, and I definitely experienced that as the best work environment, where I was connected to a church. And so I was actively looking for a studio, and ideally a studio connected to a parish. And I had heard that there had previously been some artists and writers who were here at St. Gregory's. And so I reached out, and my inquiry corresponded to the previous pastor, Father Bob Cook, just initiating St. Gregory's Hall and looking for a artist to collaborate with their programming.
Okay.
So it was just the right timing.
That sounds perfect. I mean, it worked out. Can you describe for me the most beautiful thing about St. Gregory?
St. Gregory's is part of Mary Mother of God. It's one parish that includes St. Thomas of Canterbury and St. Ida, and the parish is staffed by the conventual Franciscans. And the most beautiful thing about St. Gregory's and the whole parish, I would say, is the life of the faithful, that this is it's a thriving parish community with where people are really connected to each other across these three churches, and a part of the life and the spirituality of the Franciscans. So that's ultimately the most beautiful thing. Is the community, and then on the level of material, St. Gregory the Great is one of the most beautiful churches in Chicago. It was designed with tremendous aesthetic integrity when the founding pastor wanted to build a new church for the Luxembourger Catholic community in this neighborhood. He went to the cardinal and asked for permission. The cardinal said, I'm paraphrasing here, but don't build just another sort of standard form church, make something really beautiful and special.
You have to make something special, yeah.
And so that pastor, Monsignor Clayson, really took that to heart, and he commissioned artisans and an architect and people to make really beautiful and special, unique works of art for that church and its entire design in the Norman Gothic style.
Right.
So we see in Chicago, we see in America a lot of churches that are very aggregate, artworks that are just from here and there and the other place that don't necessarily aesthetically fit together. But St. Gregory's has a lot of visual integrity.
And maybe going off of that question, what's one thing you wished people outside St. Gregory knew about you? Or the parish, the whole?
So I'd like more people to know about St. Gregory's Hall. You know, and the word is getting out, but I would like more people to know about the programming that we have here because, you know, they might know about the parish, but not know about St. Gregory Hall's program and that it is open to everyone in Chicagoland and beyond. it's not just for parishioners. So I think the programming we have here is really special, and I would like more people to know about it.
Yeah, so what would you say is the role of St. Gregory in the neighborhood then?
Well, I don't live in the neighborhood, so I don't know exactly. And, you know, Mark Franz, the director of St. Gregory's Hall, would know that better. He lives right next door to St. Gregory the Great. So I don't know how many of people who live in the neighborhood come here. I don't know, like, what percentage are Catholic or how many come to Mass at St. Gregory's or how many people that come to any of the programming are neighbors. I have had people come to my classes who saw flyers in the neighborhood.
Okay.
Some of our advertising just locally has attracted people who aren't parishioners but who live in the neighborhood, but I don't have any statistics for you.
Okay, thank you. About your art classes, you know, who attends the art classes and who benefits from them the most?
Mm-hmm. Attendance, I'm not looking at a spreadsheet here, but I would say that generally probably 50% or maybe a little less are connected to Mother of God Parish. Maybe a little less, maybe like 35-40% are connected to the parish. And others are just interested in art and faith and see our advertisements across other Catholic churches in Chicago or at other arts and culture-related sites in Chicago. You know, they appeal to people who want to deepen their faith through, you know, through beauty. And they appeal to people who, like, just want to learn certain skills or a certain technique or, you know, have a great reverence of beauty but aren't necessarily in the Catholic Church.
Okay. Interesting. Now, can you recall a favorite memory or story involving your time as the artist in residence, perhaps teaching one of those classes?
You know, the classes are really fulfilling in different ways, but most recently we had a retreat for Lent, which was a collaboration where we had a visiting Byzantine Catholic priest, Father Thomas Loya, come and give a talk at St. Gregory the Great about the theology of icons and how to pray with icons and the just what they reveal about Christianity. And then after his talk, we did icon writing in the studio, and it was a fitting image for the season. It was what's called the bridegroom icon in the Orthodox tradition, and it's the Man of Sorrows. And that was really special. I mean, I love the different audiences that I do artworks or, you know, art programming with. You know, whether they're Catholic or not, it's, you know, it's a great point of interaction, right, around art and beauty and connected to the church. But this one was very special because everyone came for really a spiritual retreat while doing the art. So we all along understood as we were learning the technique and preparing the materials and doing the painting, that this was an act of prayer. And it was just an incredibly meditative, contemplative space. And it was, there's a lot of wonderful analogies between kind of the process of art making and growth in one's spiritual life. And those really came to the forefront in the process of the icon writing. In the iconographic tradition, they call the process of writing the icon like bringing up the light, because you start on a really dark, kind of muddy colored ground, and then you increasingly paint the lights and the brighter colors on top. And just as one point of analogy between the artistic and spiritual process, you know, a lot of the people who had never done this technique before really like were having a hard time trusting it was going to look good in the end. You know, it's like, I don't know, this looks a little dirty, this looks a little messy, is this really going to be beautiful? And then it's like an act of faith in the art making that you persevere and you trust the process. And then they're really delighted with the finished images. And as this was a retreat and we're kind of praying and we're meditating on, you know, salvation through the passion of Christ, it was all like, yes, this is what happens in our souls. Like, we have to trust the process.
How do you feel connected to the rich history of art at the church? And how do you feel that you have most notably contributed to this?
My sense of connection to the patrimony of art is more universal. That is to say, as a Catholic artist, I conceive of myself as participating in a living tradition, just like the church teaches there is like scripture and tradition, capital T in you know, the Catholic faith. Our artwork is part of that tradition, and it's something that's alive. So we have, you know, 2,000 years of resources of, you know, different, beautiful articulations of the faith in visual art. And as a Catholic artist today, we get to draw on all of that and immerse ourselves into it and yet do something new, which is informed by it. And so I'm constantly aware of that connection, of that inheritance, and the way that I am participating in it, and also in my small way, you know, like shaping it for the future. And that's also something that is really, you know, really wonderful, special about Catholicism. It's just this treasury of art that we have that we get to participate in, be in conversation with. At St. Gregory the Great, you know, there's immediate inspiration in the church itself with the artworks that are there. You know, when I came to Chicago to go to graduate school, I went to the School of Art Institute of Chicago primarily because of its close connection to the museum, right? So I had access to all of this incredible art as inspiration for my own making. And similarly, having my studio so close to St. Greg's, I have inspiration of the art that's there in my making. You know, more significantly, Jesus is there. So there's the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in a very concrete way. In terms of my contributions, that's an interesting question. Definitely, I would say my biggest contribution has been in my teaching at St. Greg's. You know, helping others to learn how to spend time looking and praying with art, and you know, and learning techniques, and you know, ideally encountering God through his aspect as beauty, beauty incarnate in Jesus. So teaching has been the main contribution here. I did a painting for St. Thomas of Canterbury's soup kitchen of a beloved parishioner and longtime director of the soup kitchen, Jim Eater. And that was really beautiful because it was a memorial portrait. He had recently passed away, and he had served in that soup kitchen for a very long time. I can't remember how many years just now, but over 20 years. And so making a portrait of him for the people who are part of that ministry and receive that ministry was really special.
With the beautiful answers, I think this question might be a little out there, but if you could change one thing about St. Gregory, what would you change?
Right now, so Mary Mother of God has, as I said, three churches. St. Gregory is one of those churches. To answer the question specifically for St. Gregory, I'd like to see there to be daily Mass here. There's right now weekend Mass.
Is there anything you want to change about Mary, Mother of God, in the entire?
No, I don't have anything. And also be rather presumptuous if I did, since I've only been connected to the parish for 2 years. But rather than wanting to change what we have at our parish, I would say I would like to reproduce what we have at our parish, at all of the parishes in Chicago, and have an artist connected to every parish, as well as a composer and a scholar.
That's an amazing insight. Yeah. Could you speak on maybe what you would like Mary, Mother of God, to look like in 5 years, perhaps?
Again, that seems presumptive since I haven't been here that long. And, you know, like people have been like baptized in this church as babies and actively a part of the community. And I still am a registered parishioner at another parish. But I can speak to the Universal Church and just express that prayer for Mary, Mother of God as well, which is an increased outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the community so that we are all so filled with the love of the Holy Spirit that like people just find the Catholic Church irresistible.
That's right. Yeah, maybe going back to after answering all these questions, you know, can you tell me something that, like, one thing that you'll never forget about your first visit to St. Gregory?
So the first time I went into the church, just being so impressed with the beauty of this church building and the art in it. Like I said, it has a really tremendous kind of integrity and, somewhat small, intimate, peaceful, such a beautiful place to pray. And on my first visit, I also saw this studio, which is now my workspace and teaching space.
Right.
And it was like, oh my gosh, this would be a dream. Like, for, you know, as an artist, it can be often very difficult to find a good working studio. Just be like, this is perfect. So I'm glad that it came to pass.